Welcome to the Shooting the Cue podcast, presented by Heath Riles Barbecue, with tips, tricks, and an inside look with some of the top pitmasters in the game. Now here's your host, Heath Riles.
All right, we are back on this episode of Shooting the Cue. Of course, I'm with my lovely wife, Candace. How are you doing today, hon?
I'm good.
Just a little tired after that travel?
I am tired. Driving to Houston is a long drive from here.
Yes, it is. Well, we are joined today by the McLemore Boys. And a lot of people may not know who the McLemore Boys are, but I can tell you, when this podcast is over, you're never going to guess everything they've had going on in their life. John and John.
How's it going? Let me just tell you, we are pumped to, we talked about doing this, last year? We're pumped to finally be on.
Yes. We appreciate everybody.
For everybody that does not know y'all, why don't y'all tell everybody kind of who you are and how y'all got started and where you are today?
So let me start, because the McLemore Boys started by me kind of getting fired. So as a 28, 29-year-old, right, and I'll let Dad tell the Masterbuilt story, but when we sold for the second time Masterbuilt, back in December of 2021, you know, I was like, kind of, you know, it's not normal that the family stays on, right, after a sale. And that was the second sale. And I was like, what do I do? Do I coach baseball? Do I, you know, kind of keep cooking? And we had just such a unique, and God blessed us, but we had this unique Fox opportunity that we had been doing with Fox and cooking for them. And Masterbuilt wanted us to stay on. We just didn't know what capacity that would be. You know, as an ambassador, a spokesman, you know, not necessarily a standard employee. And well, going from like having a lifetime of family business, that's all I ever thought I was ever going to do, and one day I'm going to run the company, to, you know, we as a family, you know, decided to kind of take that next step. I was like, well, crap, I'm no insurance, no cell phone. You know, I got to pay my cell phone bill, and I got car payments and house payments. And what do I do? And we've been blessed to have the opportunity to continue, you know, working with Fox and doing the cooking thing. But we started the McLemore Boys as a, let's see what we can make this, you know, it was an opportunity that not everybody gets. And, it went from, hey, let's do a couple of Fox cooking segments, to we signed up for the Fox All-American Summer Concert Series. We did that 15 weeks in a row in 2022, to we started doing some podcasts and interviews and Thanksgiving and Christmas. And the year turned out really successful, and that turned into, we signed up for 2023, and Masterbuilt was so happy with the exposure and the ambassador program that we did with them, they were like, let's do it again.
Yeah.
That turned into, you know, let's write a book and a cookbook, and, you know, take 40, 50 years of cooking and family traditional stuff and all the people and journeys that we've met. Let's write about it. And that turned into 2024, and we're now doing NASCAR events and races and traveling all over and doing diners with Fox and friends. And it's really blossomed into like a, hey, let's, you know, see if I can make enough money to take a year and find another job to maybe I can make a run of this.
Yeah.
And trust me, out of my group of friends, I'm the last person that would ever be smart enough or qualified enough to write a book. So the fact that I can say I'm an author and shove that in all of my friends' faces that they're not is a pretty big accomplishment for me.
Well, everybody asks me when we're going to come out with a cookbook, and I'm like, well, I have a YouTube channel, and all the recipes are available for print off the blog. So I don't know about a book.
The journey that you go through to write a book, and Dad's done four now. He's done three prior to, and this is our first joint, my first. It is, people don't tell you how challenging and how, you know, how long it takes. It takes sometimes 20 to 24 months just to get to print. It's a long journey, but it's been a blessing to be able to go back through all the stories. So yeah. That's the McLemore Boys. We kind of 3 years into it now. We had this national Fox broadcast, you know, TV opportunity, and then we just started our socials. You know, we've not been doing social on the McLemore Boys side, but for two and a half years, and we just kind of happenstance, like a lot of people in barbecue, it's a hobby, and it turns into, because you're good enough at it or you've got a platform, it turns into something you can make money off of.
Well, when I met you guys, you know, at Key West, Florida, down at the Rub and Tug event, I did not know who you guys were. And so I was sitting in the pool that day, you know, we'd done fishing and we'd done
yep.
sandbar and all that. And everybody was so busy, right? And then I get in there and we're going to have a belly flop contest. Well, I see John here, you know, your dad, and you know, he's a tall guy like me and skinny, and he's up here stretching, throwing his arms up. And I'm like, what is this man doing? And I'm like, well, he's fishing, going a solid hardcore belly flop here. And so I think I wrote it down here. We give you an 8.384 on that belly flop, John. And, you know, after going back and seeing everybody else's, you might should have won that thing. I think you
he
got
did.
Robbed.
I did. Yeah, no, he won it.
He did win it.
Oh, you did win it all together?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Well, I misplaced that. I guess you did win then.
So I actually just talked to Burton, Baron Burton W Sauce, a couple weeks ago, and he's like, you know, we talked a couple of times, we talk every couple months, and he said, now your dad's got to come back. We've got a reigning belly flop champion here.
I'm still upset that I didn't get a trophy.
You know what? This year, we've got time. We need to make a trophy for that. I think Heath Riles Barbecue can donate that trophy this year.
We can be the sponsor of that event within the event.
Yeah.
I'm
writing that down.
I can tell you, the belly flop contest was one of the unexpected things that I did there, which is pretty much what I've done my whole career. It's like, don't really think about what you're going to do at the moment. Just do it. John entered me into the contest. I thought he was doing it with me together. And I look over there and he's kind of hanging out in the corner of the pool, not getting up there stretching like I was. I was like, what the heck's going on here, man? Come on.
We've got a slow-mo social video that went, I wouldn't say viral, but it did pretty good. We collabed with W Sauce, you know, and it's the winning shot of him slow-mo, you know, going out, boobies flopping, face going out, smacking the, you know, the water. So he's got a championship to defend next year.
I don't have boobies flopping.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it was a real close call between you and Dave when he poured the W sauce.
Oh, bro.
He was wearing an American flag Speedo. It was hard to beat.
See, I think he was waiting for the moment in his life to be able to pull his pants off and show everybody his American flag Speedo and pour barbecue sauce over him. The fact that I beat him after pulling all of that off, I thought, man, there is no way.
I'm telling you, it's the boobies.
I agree. I agree 100%. You know, and I tell you, talking about that Key West event, I don't know if y'all feel the same way as we do, but everybody we've talked to from that event, it was, I don't know, I've done a lot in my barbecue career, and I'm sure y'all have too, but being out in the middle of the Keys cooking, that was an incredible experience by far.
It was unique for sure. We've done a lot. Dad, you've done more. You traveled all over the world from manufacturing products to selling and doing and cooking in Europe and all that. I mean, have you ever cooked in the middle of the ocean?
I have not. And probably I would compare a really cool experience I did was cooking at the show Spoga in Germany. With a host of different chefs all over the world. And that particular event, cooking with all of those barbecue experts, you included, when you started out on a sandbar and 4 hours later, you're knee deep in water and the sandbar's gone. Was a really cool experience. Yeah. And what was super cool about it too, was the fact that it was raising money for the pediatrics cancer research. Just the fact that it was a good cause in that kind of a crowd. Yeah, it's humbling when you're cooking with people that are that experienced in the industry.
Yeah.
So that ranks up there as one of the coolest experiences we've done.
And we're looking forward to it this year, too. We're pumped.
Well, that was my question. Are y'all coming back this year?
Absolutely, we're going to be there. Yeah.
Good deal. I told my wife we might go a little early just so we can enjoy a little more of the Keys. Well, was our first time in the Keys.
Yeah. So we've got to, unfortunately, we would, but we're actually – that's during the Fox Summer All-American Summer Concert Series. So we're in New York that, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, And then we'll do Friday morning segments and then actually fly to the Keys from New York. So we're going to get there as soon as we can and hopefully make the Friday night dinner.
Yeah, my wife Tanya said, I'll go to Florida Keys 3 days early and y'all meet me down there.
Just so she can get everything set up and planned out.
For get everything set up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she needs to go to Public Shopping for y'all and get you supplies. And,
She's right over here, right behind us. She's got all her notes and stuff, and she's going, "Yep, that's me."
I'd understand. I'm sure my wife could agree to that kind of term too. Yeah. She'd get everything set up and coordinated for y'all when y'all arrive.
Well, that event was it was very busy. And not in a bad way, but it was, you know, they have every event planned out for you during that time. So yeah, I feel like having a day or two before or a day or two after, you almost need it after, you know, the fishing, the cooking, the lobstering, all of that. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, and we're hoping that, you know, cause we actually didn't compete cause we were there trying to, we did a Fox segment, Saturday morning. I think it was that Saturday morning. And we're planning on doing the same thing next year. We're going to try to have, you know, some, you know, maybe a Fox segment or some Fox people come down and be a part of just to help promote the event because it's for a good cause. And we're going to be there in a boat trying to capture content. So we talked to Burton about whether we should compete or, you know, come and hang. We don't know yet. We're definitely going to be there.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, I've got to ask. So y'all founded, your father founded John Masterbuilt Smokers. And so we were doing our research and I never put two and two together when I first met you and really talked to you in the airport when we were leaving Key West and had some heartfelt conversation. You told me, yeah, my dad started Masterbuilt and all that kind of stuff. Can you go in and tell us a little bit of the story of Masterbuilt and how y'all got started as a family and where you're at today?
Yep. I've told this story more than once, so I'd be more than happy to. And it's one that I'm certainly very proud of to have done with my dad. Dawson McLemore founded Masterbuilt literally in our backyard in 1973. He did it as a hobby for a couple of years and figured he'd make a go of it. He quit his job as a salesman for Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company in 76, went full-time Masterbuilt, did it for 8 years with his four sons. At the time, he was a single owner in 84. We all bought in as brothers and went from one owner to five owners. And over the years, in 88, one of my brothers got out. In 98, my other brother got out. And then Don and I, which is my brother that's closest to me, I was the youngest of the four. We ran it from 98 to 2012. He decided to get out as well. So from the first time of the inception of the company, my wife and I were sole owners of the company in 2012. We did that for four more years. We decided to sell to private equity out of New York, a company called Dominus Capital. Bought 70% of the company. I stayed on as CEO in 2018 and 19 and then stepped aside. Somebody else came in and continued running it. I stayed on with the company, you know, with product development and marketing, and John did as well as a board member. And then in 2021, we sold the balance of it to Middleby Corporation, which is a publicly traded company. So, you know, we go from 50 years of this company being in our business and our blood and our family to now, you know, no longer being involved on the financial side or running the company. So I literally go from being, you know, out of high school, becoming an owner, and then being a CEO president of a family business for 36 years of my life to here we are. And we literally did the first year after we sold completely to Middleby in 2022, Masterbuilt was like, hey, you guys just kind of stay on, hang around. You've always been involved, so don't go anywhere. Just let's just, you know, have y'all help us with some marketing. To it was so successful in 2022. We signed on another year in 2023. We signed another year for 24, most likely for another year in 25. And we were just kind of going day to day to now having the Fox Concert Summer Series that we're doing between May and Labor Day in New York. We just did Daytona. We just did Super Bowl. We just got back from South Carolina Saturday doing the Fox and Friends.
We went and actually it's kind of a new thing that we've started helping do, but we actually go and we'll help MC a diner event. So sometimes they're Wednesday, Tuesday morning, sometimes they're Friday morning, Saturday mornings, but Saturday, which we don't get into the politics per se, but because we're personalities and we've done a lot with Fox, this past Saturday was South Carolina primary day. So they were hosting a diner session in South Carolina. So we go up and we help MC it. So it's not really on camera, it's off camera, but we help pump the crowd up. We get them involved. We help them make sure it flows right. So, it's kind of an interesting journey because a lot of what we do sometimes is actually not on camera. I'll say this about the Masterbuilt journey. Masterbuilt is an all-American backyard success story. The name Masterbuilt is actually from a prayer that my grandfather said, back in the day. It was like he landed a PO, wasn't it? And he was traveling back from Birmingham and
needed to come up with a brand name instead of M&M Welding.
So we were M&M Welding for Macklemore and Macklemore Welding, and we did more than just, at the time it was fish cookers and such. It was, welding and iron metal work. And, the business started growing, and he said, Lord, you're the master and I'm the builder. And if I name it after you and you help me run it, I'll give it back to you. And that's where Masterbuilt came from, is my grandfather saying, you're the master and I'm the builder.
Yeah.
And definitely have, Christian background and faith in our story. And we love having a beer, but you know where we stand in terms of our faith. But it is an all-American success story. I mean, Masterbuilt in 90 and 92 survived two major fires that burned the buildings down. And, Dad had to rebuild one and put a fish cooker on the table and say, we're going to not let this beat us and we're going to get back after it, to, being able to innovate in a space that is so flooded, especially in today's world. But having the first ever indoor electric turkey fryer, to helping really catapult the electric smoker space. For a lot of you purists out there that love your stick burners and charcoal and others, that was where Masterbuilt got its real big step forward in the smoking grilling space. Was, we kind of surged that space at your home and improvement stores. Is a traditional $200 to $300 to $400 vertical electric smoker, and we made a really good quality product at a good, good fair price. And then over the years, as the company grew, we got into other things, and now Masterbuilt has the gravity fed grills and smokers that have just
blown
really,
up.
Yeah, really revolutionized. If you think about it, charcoal has been around for hundreds of years traditionally, and there's just been no innovation in that space. And everybody, obviously,
pretty sure Jesus cooked with charcoal.
Probably. And and pellet has been so dominant in the manufactured space that we kind of, as a company back then, this is back when Dad was still CEO, we kind of took a step back and said, do we come out with a pellet product? Or, and we were on the fence. We were talking to, Lowe's and Home Depot, and do we come out with a pellet product? And we did for about 6 months, and then took a step back and kind of went, and it's not a knock on anybody that makes a pellet. Pellet's a phenomenal product. But we just kind of said, what could we do that's a little different?
Yeah.
And we looked in other areas where there just hasn't been innovation. We were like, how has nobody come up with this concept of gravity-fed charcoal at under $1,000? There just wasn't a product there. And Dad and the team, man, ran with it, and it has turned into an absolutely incredible product.
Yeah.
So you were one of the designers on that, John, of the gravity-fed Masterbuilt?
Yes, our team at the time said, hey, we want to go to a couple of competitions and we want to see what's going on out there. So the gravity concept in smoking was all over. Everywhere that they went, they could see that. And they were like, we want to come out with a gravity series system. And I said, guys, we're not in the $3,000 to $5,000smoker category. We're not in competition cooking. We are in everybody's backyard in what we do as a company. And I was always focused on, don't get out of your lane too much to where it's great to be diversified, but you got to really stick to your core. So I told the team, I was like, look, if we can develop a product that can be under $1,000, that can be on the backyard, in the backyard of everybody in America, then we'll put the resources and the money and the time behind this concept. So instead of it just being a smoker, you know, if you line up 100 people, 7 or 8% of them smoke and 90, 92% of them grill and or smoke. So we wanted to put that together, and the Gravity Series product really came from everybody pulling their resources together and what we learned out there and what everybody wanted to be able to smoke at 150 degrees up to 225, 275, to be able to barbecue at 350 to 500, and to be able to sear a steak or whatever it is you want to sear at 700 degrees.
Yeah.
And it just... it catapulted us into the grill smoker space more than anything we've ever done.
We took, if you kind of think of it like objectively, we took some of the pros and cons from various products. So being able to just turn on a gas grill and on a Wednesday, you know, cook some burgers, to the pellet concept of getting the gas griller to plug in their grill and smoke. And that's really what, you know, Traegers of the world have really done a phenomenal job of educating and getting the gas griller to plug in their grill and use, you know, load your hopper and use a pellet, to looking at all the good and bad to it, and it maybe not getting hot enough or not getting low enough. And we tried to go, how do we come out with one product that still uses traditional charcoal, which is still the most sold fuel source in America, and tried to accomplish, you know, all those things. And I mean, gravity, you know, has just been, it's, if I had to spend $1,000 on one product,
it'd be that grill.
Which I know it probably comes across biased because, you know, I'm a Masterbuilt ambassador, but it's the single most versatile product if you could spend one lump sum of money on one grill.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing but good things about it. I unfortunately don't have one yet. It's one of the grills. It's on my list this year just to go pick one up at a low down deep.
Yeah.
We can grab one this summer. It out. But I have a commercial gravity feed pit. And so I used to cook competitions on a Deep South smoker. I'm sure y'all know
what
the remote is, right? And Randall built a great, great gravity fed, more heavy duty than a man would need. It's built like a tank. And that cooker, they won me a lot of money. And you're right, to be able to go to bed or at home, not worry about it, and you're still getting that traditional taste off of it.
Yeah.
His grill didn't sear anything like y'all's. It was a straight cabinet style smoker. But the Masterbuilt, like you said, it kind of infiltrated the backyard to do a do-all. You could smoke, you could grill, you could do whatever. And there are a lot of purists that don't want to use pellets. I see it.
Sure.
I see it. And I'm sure y'all do too, being in the whole bit.
Yeah.
And you know, every company, it's a big industry, right? And every company has their own niche and space. And it's, I like to, the way I phrase it, because we get asked all the time, you know, is gravity better than blank, pellet, whatever? Is, you know, why is it better? And sometimes that's a subjective answer, because you can make great barbecue on a lot of different things. A really good friend of mine, Rashid Phillips, is a old school, you know, purist, likes to throw, you know, logs in the ground and, you know, create his flavors that way. And then you got people that sear a good steak on a gas grill. I can make a great steak on a cast iron skillet on my stove. So it really is a subjective answer. But if you were going to, the way I answered is, if you're going to spend, you know, $600 to $800 on one product that accomplishes a lot of different things really, really well, Gravity's hard to beat. And you know that. Yeah. I mean, gravity in a $5,000 to $10,000 custom smoker is a great product. It just doesn't grill. And that was kind of what we tried to accomplish was, how do we accomplish those things using that technology under $1,000 where the everyday person can buy it?
Right.
That was the solution that we tried to solve.
Yeah.
Well, y'all solved it, and you definitely own that market 110%.
That I well, that's
yours. I can tell you that.
Well, yeah. We appreciate that, Heath. And I'll tell you, the thing that has been our 50-year history, if you look back on Masterbuilt, is we tried to be innovators, and R&D for us stood for true research and development. Some of our competitors out there, that stood for research and duplicate, and we never tried to do that. We tried to be our own company. You know, back in the late 70s, early 80s, we were the first company to come out with aluminum cookware on fish cookers. We invented the indoor safe way to fry a turkey. That's still today we have
the still the fryer. Only real.
You know, I won one of those in the beer business. I had a custom, was it Miller Lite electric turkey fryer, I think, or Coors Light. It was. I worked for Miller Coors then. I don't remember which one it was, but I had a custom one that had a beer logo on it.
Really?
Yes, I did.
And it was an electric turkey fryer that, yep.
You know, electric master bill that we were giving away to customers, you know.
That's awesome. That's
funny.
That's awesome.
As John said earlier, the electric smokers, now the gravity. We tried to look at what customers have out there that they want. What are the problems? People hate starting charcoal, they hate cleaning up charcoal, and they want to go from 0 to 100 super fast. And that really solved every single problem that the consumers were having out there. We've got a new one coming out in the next couple of months. It's going to be a heavier duty version. It's called the XT version. It's going to be about a $1,500 retail. And then the newest one right now is the auto ignition Masterbuilt charcoal grill. It auto starts the charcoal, and it also has a sear plate. If you're like John, he loves cooking on cast iron. Well, it's got a sear plate right above the actual charcoal, so you can
smoke like a mini griddle, basically,
and then sear a couple of steaks or a couple of burgers or sausage or shrimp or whatever. And that's been a fun product here this year.
We actually to cook on. Just took that to Daytona and cooked on it kind of in the infield. We do a lot of RVing and camping. It's a good small size, but we did a 12-pound brisket on it. So you can still do some good sized stuff, but it's got a small, you know, backyard patio feel to it. You know, gravity itself satisfies the convenience of pellet, but still gets you charcoal. I can have it 0 to 700 in 12 minutes, so I can grill a burger on a Wednesday and only use 2 pounds of charcoal. I ain't got to burn 10 pounds of charcoal. I mean, it solves a lot of those challenges. It's so interesting sometimes. It's like the Hitch Hall story. Some of the best products that Masterbuilt ever came out with solved our own problem.
Oh, yeah. We invented them for ourselves.
We invented it because it solved a problem in our life, right? And Dad, back in the 88? I wasn't alive yet, but it was 88, I think.
You were a gleam in somebody's eye, man.
But they all bought Broncos, matching Broncos. And so when they went from trucks to Broncos, they lost the bed space in their trucks. So my uncle took a 2-inch receiver and welded a frame on it, stuck it in the receiver, and said, "Yeah, it's my hitch hauler." And, you know, you can hear the redneck in his voice going, "It's my hitch hauler." And that inspired a brand that Masterbuilt made for the better part of 15, 20 years, which was called a hitch haul. And it was, you know, hitch-style products. So I think that's kind of been really cool to see Masterbuilt's journey or be a part of it is – you know, the best products solved everyday problems in our lives.
Yeah, we'll be traveling home from somewhere and we'll see a hitch haul on the back of somebody's vehicle still today. You know, it's made out of expanded metal. It almost looks like a grill on the back of your Bronco or SUV. Yeah. And, It's been fun.
That is pretty wild that y'all just have all that. And I guess it takes me back because I didn't realize, and I guess I'm dumb for not realizing, but Masterbuilt fish cookers have been around forever.
Ever.
My dad had one in the 80s. I bet if I go look at some of the burners I've got now, they're probably Masterbuilt.
Yeah. I bet you if it's from the 80s, he probably handmade it.
Yeah. Yeah, we would go to a local fence company and buy a pipe and crimp the end, weld the end, drill two holes into this pipe, put 2 3-inch oversized pipes on top of that to create a jet burner. And a jet burner would fry fish faster than anything. And we literally built them in our backyard, would load them up on a truck, pedal them to local propane stores and hardware stores. And my dad worked harder than any man that I knew trying to get this thing to be successful. So my work ethic came from him. And it's fun to see some of those products that are still out there today that people are still cooking on. If we can get our hands on any of those historic products from 30, 40, 50 years ago, we try to hold on to them because of the history of it.
Yeah.
It's so
well,
fun.
What's the one product that out of everything y'all have ever developed or made as a family that you were like, it was, I don't know, kind of define y'all as Masterbuilt as a company?
Ooh, it would be the electric smoker and the electric indoor turkey fryer.
Yeah, because the fryer is what really put you on QVC, and. I think the earliest was that because that was 98 or 99, and you went on QVC in 2001.
Yep.
And that was the first time you did QVC, which is kind of what really catapulted the national side of the brand.
What's interesting about it is I firmly believe that God has a reason for everything and always takes care of us. And timing sometimes just falls into place. But in the early 2000s, if y'all will remember back, the hottest thing in the news was turkey fryers burning down houses, gas turkey fryers. And there was like 9 homes that burnt in 2001 from a turkey fryer. 98,000 homes burned from grease fires on their stoves, but turkey fryers got the news, okay? So we were in the process of developing this indoor method to safely fry a turkey simultaneous when all of this news was coming out. So we went on every news organization that would have us on, and Fox was the main one.
That was kind of where the Fox journey started.
Yeah. So we started 25 years ago with Fox, but mainly in 2003 when the electric turkey fryer actually hit the market. We would fly to New York and fry turkeys inside the studio, proving to everybody there was a safe way to do this, you know, whether you were doing a turkey or chicken or steaming or boiling. It was a real versatile product. And that really got us the recognition on Fox. We were on Governor Huckabee's show. Before he ran for president, he had us come on his show in his studio. He gave us 11 minutes of airtime that aired on Saturday night and reran on Sunday, and it shut our entire website.
It crashed our website. It's so funny when if you could see the reactions from the camera guys to the operators to the anchors. You have this deep fryer in the studio, and you're dropping a turkey in the hot oil, and they're like waiting for it to blow up because they're just so programmed to be terrified of it. And in 20 some odd years, we never had a grease fire.
Not one.
From the product, because it was built in a way that you really couldn't screw it up. Yeah. It's been kind of cool to see.
Yeah. We've cooked with Miss Paula. Paula Dean at QVC. She's still a friend, her and her husband, Michael. And the journey for us has been about not just building products and trying to grow a company, but it's been about family. And it has really been about how we are able to meet great people like y'all, whether it's at an event in the Florida Keys, cooking out in the middle of the ocean, or it's on Fox, or it's going to some of these charitable events that we do. We do things for Wake for Warriors.
Yeah, if I could,
the military to, you know, the rub and tug for the cancer research.
Yeah, if I could answer your question, Heath, in my own kind of unique way, is it probably wasn't a specific product, because, you know, I grew up in the business, but didn't officially start working, you know, as an adult until 2010.
You work?
I did sometimes. And I would say the product that I was probably most proud of was what Masterbuilt did to people. The journey that the company took on, and the team that we had, the family that we had of, you know, from 60 to 80 to over 200 employees, that we didn't really like thinking of it that way. We liked looking at it like a family. Mom and Dad wrote birthday cards to every team member and spouse's birthdays through the time that he was CEO. Every year we would do monthly birthday celebrations to the videos that we did. If you look back on the Masterbuilt channel, all the fun, crazy things that were not cooking related, they were just fun. But the product that I was probably most proud of was the team that we were able to build and the people that we were able to meet. It's kind of like the statement that a coach will say is, the product that you put on the field is what you're most proud of. It's how you carry yourself to how you also perform. That, along with just the family that we ended up, you know, the Macklemore family as a whole, but the family that we were able to create and just experience was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we get asked, do you miss the company since you've sold? And our answer is always, we miss the people more than owning a company.
Yeah, I don't know if I miss inventory.
I don't miss inventory. I don't miss cash flow. I don't miss all the challenges. I don't miss all the stress that goes.
You're shaking your head like, I get it.
Yeah, just keep whining that real help.
Our HR department right now is my wife.
that is my HR department too. And we got ready to expand that HR department.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, I have another question. So not only did y'all have Masterbuilt, but did y'all not bring in Kamado Joe, distribute it? And y'all were the official distributor of Kamado Joe as well, right?
Yeah, well, when we sold in 2016 to private equity, 2 years later, actually 1 year later, we bought Smoke Hollow.
Yeah, if you remember Hollow company.
It became Masterbuilt Dominus. And then Masterbuilt Dominus bought Smoke Hollow, and we just bolted it onto Masterbuilt. A year after that, in 2018, we bought Kamado Joe and brought that brand into Masterbuilt. And instead of one or the other, we kept it as two totally separate brands, which it still is today. And then in 21, when Middleby bought Masterbuilt Dominus, that owned Masterbuilt and Kamado Joe, it bought Chargriller simultaneously. So now all three brands are still under the Middleby Corporation. But we didn't distribute Kamado Joe. We actually bought the company and brought it into Columbus and the Atlanta office that we had.
Yeah, because if you kind of think of it that way, Masterbuilt was really good at mass distribution. Kamado Joe was really good at independent. So that was a really good marriage. The products weren't overly competing. They were different price points, different styles. So that marriage was a really, really brilliant marriage.
And Heath, you and I talked about this a little bit in the airport. You know, what do companies do as they're building, and what is their end goal? Do they want to build it and own it forever? Do they want to build it and one day sell it? You know, what is their end goal. And ours, you know, at times we didn't have a strategy of building a company to sell. It just happened over time. My advice for any and everybody that's going to be out there in a business, when you decide to sell, you need to look at every aspect of what comes with that. Are you wanting to stay as a majority? Do you want to become a minority owner? And as you bolt on other companies, the number one challenge is when you merge cultures together.
Yeah.
That was probably the biggest challenges that we had to overcome over the years. Would I do it again? Absolutely. Would I do a few things different? Absolutely. But as people think about what it is they want to do, they just need to understand what they're getting themselves into, because yeah. it's not all perfect. So you just need to know what you're doing when you do it.
Y'all know this. It's like family businesses are so all unique. There is no one family business that's really the same. Because every family dynamic is different. We were fortunate that Dad and my Uncle Don, who, you know, co-ran Mashable for 15 years, never once had an argument. It doesn't mean that there weren't disagreements and things, but the way that they ran the business and handled my generation, I was fortunately, in an odd way, I was the only one of six that chose to work in the business, and that was kind of fortunate to a degree, because there was no real family dynamic in terms of my generation. But they were very clear on how that would be handled, and how, you know, working for the business means you make a salary, but just being a Macklemore doesn't mean you have ownership and doesn't mean that you have a say-so. You got to earn that.
Yeah.
You know, his Pawpaw, old man, Pawpaw, was the same way with them. And we're fortunate now, y'all know this, the family dynamic. When you spend, I was just joking with my girlfriend the other day, when you spend every day, all day together, you're going to get tired of each other.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you don't love each other.
You just don't like each other all the
and,
time.
And there's sometimes, there's sometimes that, you know, we love what we do. We love that we get to do it together. But there are times that I'm like, bro, I need to go sit on a tractor and bush hog or tear something up, because I just need to be away.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay.
I tell you, I go bush hog. I go bush hog. I know what it's all about.
But family dynamics, I will say this. If there are family businesses out there where there's a second gen coming into a first gen, or a third gen coming into a second gen, I'm a believer that 80% of that falls on the generation coming in, because where people make a mistake is the generation coming in, especially my generation, we don't know how to listen. And we think that because we've worked somewhere for a year or two that we're entitled to a promotion and better and all this other stuff. And I think you got to know when to shut your mouth, learn and listen, and put the work in. And one thing that I think helped our relationship when my office was out, you know, directly across from his, is for several years, I just tried my hardest. It wasn't always perfect, because we all like to talk, but tried to just shut my mouth and listen. And I didn't come in just because I was a Macklemore and go, well, this is the way I, you know, is. And that really helped our relationship, because I still believe in, you know, God being, you know, our spiritual authority, and I viewed him as my authority, and allowed myself to just take direction. And when we get that backwards sometimes, the new generation coming in thinking that we know everything, you just see family dynamics and businesses get split up.
Yeah.
Especially amongst siblings. So
yeah, the two biggest problems with family businesses sometimes is money and authority.
Yeah.
And if you put money ahead of family, it will not work. And my brother and I made that decision to just not let that happen. And we were very fortunate that he wanted to be vice president. He did not want the president spot, which made him the smarter of the two, obviously. But we never had a power struggle. We never put money ahead of our family. and it just worked for us. So that that would be the recommendations for family businesses, is don't let money divide a family. It's just not worth it. So
well, money is just temporary fun anyway. It's not. Yeah. I tell people that it's nice, but it don't buy happiness, and it don't it creates a little quick fun, but it don't buy happiness.
There's a lot of really rich people that are very poor in the soul,
but it can buy you a boat. It can buy you a truck.
But you know you're gonna need $100+ worth of gas every time you go to buy that gas. You're gonna need a cooler of beer. You're gonna need gas for your truck. You're gonna need permit. They don't tell you all that either about that boat. They don't tell you all that.
That's right.
Well, look, talking about y'all's new, I want to know about your new cookbook y'all got together here. You know, that really intrigues me as well. So let's talk about y'all's new cookbook.
Gather and Grill, Macklemore's Gather and Grill. This is 50 years of the Masterbuilt story is intertwined in this book. It is us telling our stories. I mean, you can get a recipe anywhere, like you said earlier, Heath, and online. So it's not about just the recipe. It's about the story, the journey, the photos of us cooking with all of our friends throughout the years. It's riddled with a scrapbook of all of those photos and stories, 125 recipes. It's got like 9 different categories, from breakfast to appetizers, sides. Three different meats, beef, poultry, and chicken.
Poultry and chicken are the same thing.
Did I say that? Beef, pork, and poultry.
So,
I get tongue-tied, and I just keep going over and over again.
It even got leftovers in it.
So what's funny about the journey, you made the comment earlier, is you know, how all these people say, why don't you write a book? We had people left and right for the better part of a year or two go, why don't y'all have a book?
Yeah.
And, you know, at least in the Fox world, you know, everybody has a book, right? And we said, no, we don't. We liked the natural journey that we were on. And we had several people at Fox go, I just want you to have a conversation with a publisher. Just talk about your journey and see if it would make sense. And I mean it. We didn't promote ourselves and do all this other stuff. We ended up, you know, in a week or so on a conference call with some executives from HarperCollins, and they were like, we would love to tell your story. And you know, people in that world saw us as father son. There's not a whole lot of father sons out there, not just in our barbecue world, but just in general. There's not a whole lot of father sons doing things together, and they just found that really intriguing, and that we didn't hate each other and we loved each other, and they were like, we are intrigued by it. We see the personality and the energy that you guys bring to TV. We would love to try to help you write a book.
Yeah.
And literally on the first call, they said, you know, you guys seem to really do a good job gathering and grilling. And, you know, and grilling is a loose term, right? Because we probably smoke more than we grill, although that's evolved and it's seasonal. But they were like, you guys really bring a gathering together. That's what y'all do well, is bring a lot of people, whether it's family or at big events or the concert series, and it's gathering and grilling. And that our publisher at the time went, if we write a book, it's going to be called Gather and Grill.
Yeah.
And that's the name that stuck. And it turned into, you know, not how to do the best smoked ribs. I mean, it's our way of doing a rib or a whatever. But it's the journey and the story that we have gone through. And we cooked with Flo Rida, of all things, you know, top 3 all-time rap artist sells, and we're cooking with Flo Rida, and he's singing me Happy Birthday in the back green room at Fox. And I'm like, how did this redneck from Georgia end up here, right? To Gavin McGraw, to Daytona 500s, to Talladegas, to doing this diners, and just this unique journey that we've been on. is a culmination of where this book kind of ended up.
Yeah.
All the various recipes, and Dad's good at saying this, the best recipes that we have done are recipes that we've learned from other people. Yeah. The best brisket that we've ever done, we weren't big brisket guys until the last couple of years. The best brisket we've ever done, we learned from Ryan Lane, Lane's Barbecue. And that he, the brisket in our book is his, you know, three-step brisket.
And that came from doing the concert with Three Doors Down.
Yeah, we did a concert with Three Doors Down, and he was eating our brisket. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's just this odd, unique journey. Like, how are we cooking, smoking, you know, barbecue for all these bands? And it's a unique journey, but that's kind of where the book came into play is it's not so much, man, this is the best wing ever. That's a subjective thing, right? I mean, you like your wings different than I like my wings, but where we did them, how we did them, who we did them with is the uniqueness. And that's kind of where the Gather and Grill story comes in, is us telling those stories and telling that journey.
Yeah, and we were fortunate that Steve Ducey, who had the number one selling cookbook in the world over the past couple of years, you know, is obviously the Fox News host. He wrote our foreword and has stories in the book. The we did a soft launch
For Super Bowl.
For Super Bowl, the Saturday before Super Bowl on Fox. And so from that day forward, we're continuing to promote it. But it's going to actually ship May the 7th. So the official launch date is May 7th coming up, which is a couple of weeks before the concert series starts. So we'll be in New York probably the whole month of May.
Yeah, and what's so funny is the book doesn't launch until May 7th. So this was all pre-orders and soft launch. And we were the number 37 top book on Amazon that day that we launched it, which was, per our publisher, a pretty big feat, considering nobody knew the book and it's not even shipping yet. So what my best claim to fame so far is that day, and then we did another hit for Daytona. We were the number one vegan book on Amazon.
Really?
Yep.
Must be the mac and cheese.
And I'm like, I don't understand how we were the vegan book, but I'm like, that is what's going on my Twitter profile.
We were number one movers and shakers in cookbooks on Amazon. So our goal is to just keep promoting it. Thank you both for allowing us to talk about our story, the book itself. It is, if you get it on Amazon.
Yeah. Barnes and Noble.
Barnes and anywhere books that are sold, you're supposed to be able to get this book.
Well, I'm gonna order me one.
Anywhere you can get a vegan cookbook, you should be able to get it.
That's
anywhere
it. You can get a vegan.
Yeah. I mean it though. It's been a journey because I'm 31 and I'm like, how did I end up with the platform and kind of in the position I am? And it's been just the people that we've met. And the journey, one thing that we just got off of a call with Wonder Bread is a brand that we're bringing on. And we're going to be ambassadors for them and doing some NASCAR events. And they're going to be the official bread of the concert series. And we were just on a call with them. And I said, let me open up this call because we're first time meeting them. And I said, one thing that you're going to get from us is energy and passion. I said, we might not be the best looking or the smartest, but we're going to have a good time doing whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
And we genuinely love meeting new people, the experiences that we get to do. The meeting you guys down in Florida last year was just such a blessing. And all the people we met, you know, I met
a lot of great people
that I've seen on social media, right? And I'm like, oh, cool. There's, you know, there's Stell Cracker and there's TFTI, you know, barbecue there. I mean, we're just like meeting all these great, and then you actually get to know them, and everybody's so unique and so cool.
Everybody's journey is so unique, and you know, you talk about journeys. I love hearing everybody's journeys, hearing y'all's today. I don't know, just incredible with the amount of people. We had Justin Stell Cracker on a few weeks ago.
We saw it. It's good.
Awesome. He is a stellar guy. I mean, and just some of the other people that we've talked to in the business, where when we just started this podcast, we're, I don't know, probably at 50 something episodes now, but I just love hearing everybody's journey. Do what?
I don't even know if we have that many, to be honest.
I can't remember.
We're trying.
But I mean, just hearing everybody's journey, though, like you said, it's a unique path for everybody. Yeah. A lot of people wind up in the same sense of things. And I tell people, you know, it's some people I hear that think that we're all competitors. No. This is one big family of people. And for the most part, everybody's here to help everybody. I mean, it's just all about having fun with food. And when you get food involved, you get people's charisma and everything pumped up. I mean, everybody thinks they can cook the best food. And to get that play off each other in such a fun atmosphere a lot of times, especially at events or launches or anything, seeing somebody take a bite of whether it's your food or somebody else's, and their initial reaction is always just heartfelt to me.
That's what's so interesting and cool about the barbecue world is, you know, if you look at it objectively, I mean, we're Lane's Barbecue ambassadors. Well, you sell your own rubs and stuff. So like, why would you have us on your podcast? But yet there's really, it's a big space and there's room for everybody. But, that's what's so cool about that rub and tug is you had in theory, all these competitors, but everybody's sharing stories and eating each other's foods and trying different things. And it was
We're cooking on a big green egg. And we're Masterbuilt Kamado Joe ambassadors. You know? I mean, go on.
That's what's so cool.
We burned the food, but.
Well, airflow was a little off, wasn't it, right?
That's funny.
Well, I feel like we all use other people's stuff too, 100%. Just because we like it. I mean, we use a lot of those people's stuff that was there, even though Heath, like you said, has his own line of products. We don't just stick to those.
I support all my friends. I do.
Yeah. We have really good friends here we live in Hamilton, but in Columbus, Georgia, the Animal Farm is a really cool restaurant downtown Columbus. And we're eating there one night, and at the bar was the owner of the restaurant, like two doors down, downtown, eats there all the time, supports the Animal Farm, yet he's a competitor.
Yeah.
And that industry, like the restaurant, you know, the barbecue space, and, you know, the grill space is probably a little bit more
competitive,
not as friendly as it is. Not sure why that is, because I can remember back in the day just being super good friends with everybody that we competed with.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on the leadership, which is
I think it's the marketers is what it is. It's not the leadership. It's probably the marketers within some of those companies that are trying to just get their advantage across better than
that's, the others. One thing I love listening to Ryan Lane talk about is because they just started their own podcast, but I've heard him say it about other podcasts and other spices and sauces. He's like, we love supporting other brands, other spices and sauces, other people in our similar space. And I've heard others that Matt, I was talking with Matt Pittman back at the Rubber Tug, and he's like, yeah, there's You'd be surprised at how big the space is, and how much room there is for everybody, especially for us to co-promote and we're all friends.
Yeah. And it is a small world that we live in. And I've said that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Be careful what you do and who you do it to, because one day it is going to come back to either help you or bite you in the butt.
I tell anybody, don't burn a bridge. You may have to gently roll back across it again. You don't want to do that. Why? There's room in this segment for everybody. And if I can help somebody gain distribution, hook up with a distributor, a retailer, I sell my competitor stuff on my website. I sell mats and Tuffies, and I'm steady bringing on other brands now.
Yes.
And when we get a bigger warehouse, let's go. Katie, bar the door. The only reason y'all know they're going to cook on the Masterbuilt smoker one day. They may cook on the Kamado the next day, and they may be on a Traeger the next day. And there's nothing wrong with that. And
how many taste buds are in your mouth? Like some hunt, tens of millions.
I thought it was 23.
I don't know, but
that's Dr. Pepper.
And there's so many different ways. That's kind of the thing about like a cookbook. It's like, there's so many ways to cook one thing. Yeah. Like, how can there be one perfect best way? There's just not. It's so subjective. Yeah.
I don't know how much time we got left here, but before we get off, the one thing that I do want to say to anybody that is listening, I've never been to college. I am dyslexic. I got out of high school with a third grade reading level. Not the smartest person in the room, not the sharpest tool in the shed, but if I can do it, anybody can do it. We are not culinary chefs. We've never been to school for that. We learn from our parents. We learn from people like you and everybody that we cook with. If you are passionate enough to do it, you can absolutely do it.
Yeah.
And just follow your dream. Just do it.
Yeah. And sometimes action is the best, you know, word spoken. Right. So getting out there and just doing it. And that's a lot of the barbecue stories and journeys out there are people taking their hobbies and passions and they just do it.
Yeah.
And they're good enough at it that they can find a way to get paid at it.
Isn't there a tennis shoe company that uses that slogan?
No, we're not going there.
Well, and I tell you, I never went to college either, John. I never went to college. I graduated high school, went to work right after. I said, I'll lay out a semester and go. And I never went and went into many other fields and always done barbecue as a hobby. And finally just decided that I was going to flip the script. And I did. And it was one of the best decisions I ever made. And I struggled every day. And I rely on a group of people. And I wouldn't say a group of people, but I call people like yourself all the time and go, man, I need some advice. I don't really know what I'm doing here. Just tell me some advice. Give me some advice.
Yeah. I would love for that to continue outside of a podcast. You call us anytime. If we can help, whether it's in business or us calling you about how to cook something, us meeting up at the next event, that is what we love about what we do. 100%.
Well, I would love to have you guys come anytime you want to come. You're passing through the area anytime through Memphis. Please give me a shout where I can get y'all in here in studio. We'll do another podcast and maybe film a cooking video we planned.
Let's do it.
And when I get my barn dough finished, I would love to have y'all out to our farm and come film a podcast and a cooking segment out there and all that. And I just think it'd be great. I probably could cover another hour on the podcast with y'all, but I know that we both got to go. But tell everybody where they can find y'all at and how they can connect with y'all online.
So Instagram, Facebook, TikTok is the Macklemore Boys. You know, it's been a new journey for us starting the social side, but we are trying to grow it. And then we actually just started on YouTube. We're starting a vlog of all of the journey, the events that we do, because we get asked all the time, you know, you guys seem to be doing so much and having such a good time at, you know, things like we were just at Daytona. You know, like, we would love to see, what does it take to actually pull that stuff off? So we just started a behind the scenes kind of journey vlogging of what we're doing.
Google.
And then Google Gathering Grill.
That right there pops up.
We're the only Gather and Grill. We're the only Gather and Grill book out there. You can find it on Amazon and pretty much anywhere you buy a book. So, and then we're about to start up the Fox Concert Series. So we'll be on Fox and, you know, just trying to have a good time what we're doing, man. You know, sharing God's love and God's word and doing it in a fun way. And right now for us, that's through barbecue.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on the podcast. Do you have anything else, honey?
Tell your wife to call me and I'll meet her 3 days before in Key West as well.
Done.
Okay. Did you hear it? Okay.
Okay.
If we cannot come in early for the Key West thing, we may stay a day or two after because we will be literally,
I think we're going to do that, too.
Yeah, y'all going to do both. Y'all are going to stay for a whole week. So we definitely want to probably extend it a little bit while we're down there. And, you know, we didn't say this earlier, but we do have – I've got two daughters, Brooke and Bailey, that have been a part of this whole journey. I've got a 40-year-old son that lives in Austin, Texas, that has three kids. So we have five grandkids. And that'll be a whole nother story.
Next time we're on the podcast, you need to ask him about the letter that he got in the mail last year about the son that he didn't know he had.
Cliffhanger. He drops his pen. Oh, sorry.
Man, we really need to talk. I've got some good stories about myself too on some stuff like that. That's kind of crazy.
You're not my son, are you?
Dad. It depends.
I love it. That's awesome.
Well, look, John, I appreciate you guys coming on. I truly do. I always love hanging out with you guys and talking. You guys have an incredible story, and it just reminds me that to keep believing in myself, because like you said, John, you had no college education. All you did was follow your passion, follow your dreams, put your head down and work and do the right thing, and look where it's got you. So there's nothing like that. And following the good Lord's journey to help guide your dad through the way, I think that's such an incredible story of how you guys got your name. And it just goes to show that Masterbuilt has been built on a legacy of family and faith, which
that's
is
it. 100%.
Faith,
family, then the rest was our number one core value at Masterbuilt. That's still our number one core value within the Macklemore boys. Candace, thank you as well. We've enjoyed getting to know both of y'all, but we know who the smartest person in the room is.
Definitely her. Not me. Yeah. Not
thank
me.
You both.
Well, thank you guys, and we'll catch y'all next time. Shoot you.
Mama Max says bye.
Bye.
That'll work. We'll see you in Key West.
Yes, all right, sir.
See y'all.
Thank you for tuning in to the Shooting the Q podcast. If you have any comments or suggestions for future episodes, please feel free to reach out to us on our social media channels or through our website. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. Leave us a review if you enjoyed the show. Until next time, keep shooting the Q.